This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well. With your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We're talking about the science behind sleep and what can help you sleep better. Today we have an important guest. Her name is Lisa Coffey. She is spokesperson for the Better Sleep Council and a best-selling author. So welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thanks, Andrew. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm so excited to have you here because in our initial conversation, you had so much information. I was getting overwhelmed. I said, we've got to get out and share this with the audience.
Absolutely. I love it. Sleep Great. Is my thing.
Perfect. So today, we're going to talk about the concept of should you sleep alone? And I know, you know, I get a lot of questions as a clinician from people who are married or in a relationship or maybe just have pets or something, and a lot of questions about the pros and cons of sleeping alone or sleeping together and so on and so forth. And that's the stuff we're going to dig in today. So let me start off and just ask you, how important do you think it is that couples share a bed?
So there's a lot of pros and cons to this, right? A lot of people say that, you know, to have a very strong relationship, you need that bonding time in bed. But mm-hmm. when you're talking about time together, you're talking about quality time and also quantity time. There's no doubt that when you're sleeping together in bed, you're getting quantity time. But is it quality time if you're not sleeping well? No. Sleep is essential to a good relationship. If you're not getting a good night's sleep, you're more likely to argue, be grumpy, get on your partner's nerves, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's good if you can sleep together and get a good night's sleep, but not everybody can do that.
Yeah. No, I've spoken with some people who, you know, they say that they're a cuddler and they like to be able to have someone next to them. And I've also had clients who say, the concept of someone, even the body heat close to me, really bothers me. Have you dealt with those types of issues?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of obstacles for couples who sleep together. And one of them is temperature. I mean, that is a big one. One side of the couple almost always wants it cool, you know, like keep the window open and turn the air conditioning on and, oh, I don't want any blankets. I just need a sheet. And the other person's like, I am freezing, you know, and that's just, I mean, I hear that so often. That's probably the thing I hear the most often from people. And I'm in a relationship like that. My husband, it runs hot. He just runs hot no matter what. And I'm like freezing all the time. Mm-hmm. So the way we solve this, And this is a tip that is kind of making the rounds right now. I think it's called the Swedish sleep technique or something like that.
I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, this is really good. So you have one bed, right? So you have one mattress, like a king-size mattress. We definitely need a king-size mattress because you need enough space to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get two sets of twin blankets, and you each have your own set of blankets.
Excellent.
So he has just a sheet, you know, the one sheet goes over both of us, and he has a very thin twin cotton blanket, that's it, mm-hmm. which he hardly ever uses, even in the winter. I mean, I just don't understand it. And I've got a sheet, a blanket, and then my weighted blanket. And I'm all cozy and cuddly, you know. And then we have the thermostat set at 68, which is kind of the top range of what you want. You want the room to be cool,
mm-hmm.
but you want yourself to be warm. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the key to getting a good night's sleep. But in that, that's one way that you can solve a couple's obstacle to getting a good night's sleep together with temperature. But there's so many more than that. There's like, you know, one person works a night shift and one person works a day shift. And then what do you do? Your shift's in the night. You know, there's very little mm-hmm. time you spend in bed. And are you going to bother the person when you come in bed, or are you going to bother the person when you get out of bed? So there's a couple things you can do with that too. For example, a memory foam mattress doesn't have that kind of bounce thing to it. So
right.
that when you get in and out of the bed, you don't notice so much from the other side. So that's a tip.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is with the light, you can, instead of turning on the light, you know, and making, you know, you're in the dark, just have your own little personal flashlight and go around, even the flashlight on your phone, whatever, you know, just go around and not bother the other person that
right.
way.
Right.
So that's a couple of tips with that. And
wow.
then another one is snoring.
Mm-hmm. Big one.
Usually it's the male in the relationship that's the snorer. I don't know why, but that's the way it is.
Sometimes it's the dog. I've had dogs that snore.
That's true. That's true. There's a whole other solutions for the dog, though. But I guess, you know, you can use nasal strips for the guy, the snorer can use nasal strips or whatever. That sometimes helps.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person who's not snoring can use those like ear plugs or whatever.
Noise canceling earplugs or just regular old earplugs?
Either one. You know, those little foam ones, you can have like white noise going to kind of balance it out. There's other things you can do that way. But I think if it's a persistent thing, the snoring, the snorer also has to get checked out medically to make sure there's not something else going on.
Yeah,
it's hard to live with a snorer. especially if you're a light sleeper, you know, that could be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I'll throw in a tip here for the audience, especially when we talk about snoring. If you are the bed partner of someone who is snoring, and clearly the snoring is bothering you because you're aware of it, also pay attention to see if there's a time when they seem to kind of stop breathing or take a break in their breathing and then get this big gasp of air. Because if you're hearing that happen, you definitely want to have them checked out for sleep apnea, right?
There you go. Yeah, that's really important. And then that's important for the partner to know, because who else is going to be able to catch that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sleep apnea could be very serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I, you know, let me ask you, because you mentioned about the memory foam mattress and how it doesn't, you know, have a lot of movement so that people can stay still. What's the deal with memory foam currently? I know when it first came out, when people were sleeping on memory foam, they would say it gets really, really hot and it trapped all their body heat. What's the current status?
Oh, there's, you know, every day there's so many advances in mattress technology, it just blows my mind. Now there are like built-in gel cooling pads and all kinds of stuff. And really, a mattress is such an individual decision that you really need to go to the mattress store, and we call it test rest them, right? Just mm-hmm. actually take your shoes off, lay down on the bed, and and stay there for a while, you know, like roll around, go in your favorite sleeping positions. If you're sleeping with a partner, take your partner with you. A lot of times there's a difference in preference for the firmness of the mattress, mm-hmm. but that's been solved by technology too, because you can get, you know, number beds or whatever, so you can adjust the firmness on either side.
Right.
So, I mean, if you haven't been in the mattress store in a while, you got to go, because it's like, it'll blow your mind.
Well, I always threaten that one day if I open my own mattress store, I'm going to have it open all night so people can actually sleep on the mattress for one night and see what it's like.
I love that idea. That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
You know, it's there's no other way to test it. You can't lay down for 5 seconds and say, oh, this will be great. It's just hard.
I know. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so let's ask this. So you shared several tips about what they can do if you have bed partners sleeping together, trying to deal with various issues, temperature, snoring, etc. But let's say they try these tips and they've tried different things and it's just not working. What do they do? Is it okay to sleep apart, or is that going to damage the relationship?
No, I totally am on board with this, because sleep is so important to us individually and also to our relationship. So whether you have separate beds in the same room or you have separate bedrooms, mm-hmm. I think that's totally fine. And we need to normalize this. I mean, I think that there's kind of a stigma now, like, what, you guys don't sleep together? You're a couple, you're married. What is the deal? Is something wrong? It's like, no, something is right, because we're honest enough with each other that we value our sleep, and it's actually helping our relationship because we both are healthier. Mm-hmm. So I'm all on board with that. It's totally fine.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good, because I know there's a lot of debate out there about that. But ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, literally at the end of the day, when we're sleeping, you know, we're asleep. We're not aware of what's going on around us. We're not aware of what's happening. Now,
yeah.
As we're falling asleep, yes, we know there's someone there. Maybe they're cuddling and so on and so forth. But actual sleep time, you should not be aware of anything.
Exactly. And I mean, if you want to spend time cuddling together and then go to your separate beds or your separate rooms, you can do that. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's totally fine. It's such a personal preference that you got to figure it out for yourself. There's not one size fits all for this solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's different. Every relationship is different. But the thing is, if you're happy with the situation, good for you. You know, great. You do you.
Right, right. Well, let's, you know, we mentioned the word cuddling here, and I want to follow up on that for a second. So, you know, stereotypical men and women, I would assume that people say, well, men just don't seem to be cuddlers and women want to be cuddlers. But tell us the reality. What goes on with cuddling?
Yeah, so the Better Sleep Council did this very extensive survey looking at sleep preferences within couples and everything. And we looked at who prefers to cuddle more, men or women.
Mm-hmm.
The men actually preferred cuddling more.
Really?
Yeah. So I think they like to feel the closeness. Maybe they, being men, I don't know, maybe they thought it would lead to something more. I mean, there's a lot of reasons you could
right.
say, oh, yeah, let's cuddle, honey.
Right.
You know, I'm going to warm you up. but yeah, men, and I think it makes, you know, it makes sense to me, because there's only men. Don't have many opportunities for physical touch the way women do. You know, mm-hmm. like women, we hug our friends, we hug whoever, we're huggers. And men are more like, hey, buddy, how are you? You know, hey, high five and fist bump, you know, that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. maybe at the end of the day when they're just tired and they want to like relax and shed the stress of the day, then a good cuddle helps them to do that. It helps to balance the nervous system. So that could be.
You know, you said that was based upon a survey that was done. Did the survey look at the age? Like, was there a difference in the answers depending on whether the people were younger or older or anything different?
I'll have to look at that. Let me see.
I just wonder if as we age, you know, I know a lot of things about our sleep change and a lot of things about our temperament change. I'm just curious if it changes our attitudes.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that when it comes to sleeping together, it's pretty much split. Mm-hmm. And, no, I don't see anything about ages on that unless I go into detailed findings. Yeah. But that could be. But, I mean, that's an interesting question, too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I was just curious about that. So, all right. Well, okay. So, we're talking about cuddling, and surprising to me that men are more cuddlers than women. But what about just men and women together in terms of preference for sleeping alone or together? And before you answer that question, I need to take a quick commercial break, and we will come right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Utah's scenic beauty? Welcome to Mountain Valley RV Resort in the stunning Heber Valley, Utah's highest rated RV destination. Enjoy spacious RV sites, cozy cabins, and tent spots, all nestled against the stunning Rocky Mountains and shadow of Mount Timpanogos. Dive into heated pools, relax in hot tubs, or challenge friends on pickleball courts. Families love the playgrounds and sports courts, while adults can unwind in exclusive 21-plus areas featuring a luxurious clubhouse and spa. With top-notch amenities and breathtaking views, Mountain Valley RV Resort offers an unforgettable experience year-round. Whether you're seeking adventure or relaxation, Mountain Valley RV Resort is your home away from home. Book your stay today at mountainvalleyrv.com.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we are back on Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We're speaking with Lisa Coffey. She's a spokesperson for the Better Sleep Council and a best-selling author. And when we took the break, we had just I had just asked the question about men and women sleeping alone or sleeping together. What's the preference?
So again, men tend to prefer sleeping with a partner than not.
Huh. Which,
yeah, I mean, it might be a surprise, but okay, as a woman, I kind of need, like, space when I sleep. It's mm-hmm. like I've had all these people coming at me all day, all day, all day, all day. It's like, finally, I get to be alone. So I kind of prefer, like, the not cuddling and just let me sleep. Let me get to sleep as fast as possible so I can get as much sleep as possible. That's kind of my thing. So maybe other women are the same way. But men feel, I don't know if more more like the protector, you know, and like, okay, I'm going to take care of my partner this way by sleeping by her side. And, you know, they prefer that.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Wow. Again, counterintuitive to me. I would have guessed the opposite. So
yeah,
nobody give me a sleep quiz because I'll fail it. So, okay. So we're talking male and female. How about male and female dogs or cats or pets? Are pets in the bed okay, or should we banish them to their own bed?
Oh, my gosh. I personally sleep with my cat every night. So it's me and my husband and my cat in between us. So, But, I mean, again, it's personal preference. And it also depends on your pet's sleep style. Not just your sleep style, but your pet's sleep style. Because some pets, they have dreams, you know, especially dogs. They have dreams. And then they'll be, like, kicking their legs and whatever. Okay, if the pet's sleep style is interfering with your sleep, put them in a crate, put them in their own sleep bed. Don't let them sleep on your bed because, again, it's going to affect your sleep, and your sleep is what's important here. The dog can take naps all day, but you don't really have that luxury, right? I think cats are a little bit easier, but cats also, especially when they're young, tend to be more nocturnal. So they'll sleep more during the day, and they'll be more awake at night. I have an older cat, so she sleeps all day and all night. So she's not getting up so much and bothering us. In fact, sometimes she'll be asleep on the bed before we go to bed, and she'll be asleep on the bed after we get up. So that's like an easy cat to sleep with.
Right.
But if you've got a little kitten who in the middle of the night decides, let's play, you know, and they start like jumping after your toes and things like that, it's like, okay, it's going to bother my sleep. So you're going to have to figure out a solution, whether it's keeping your door closed and letting the cat have the run of the house, or, you know, having a little cat crate, or whatever works for you. But it's totally a preference. The other thing you have to think about is allergies. Like, if one of the partners is going to be sensitive to any pet dander, then you should not have the cat or dog on the bed, and you need to keep the linens washed like continually, because even the dander that gets in the air will go on the linens, and you just need to keep it always fresh.
Yeah. Well, I, as we were talking about the cats, I was thinking back to myself, because I've had several I've always had animals, dogs, cats, birds, turtle, you name it, I've had it. But cats in particular, when it comes to sleeping, there's cats have their own personalities. And there's those cats who know that at, you know, sunrise or just before sunrise, that is time for them to come and walk on your head and tell you the sun is about to come up. And that can be annoying. And if you have one of those cats, you have to consider whether that's right. I happen to have a cat right now, and the cat that I have right now is... I'm sleeping. Don't bother me. So
that's really funny. Yeah, sometimes Clara will. My husband sets an alarm, and sometimes when the alarm goes up and he's just laying there, she'll get up and she'll sit right on top of him. Like, hello, the alarm went off. Like, get up. Cats are very, very smart. And my mom's cat, when she starts seeing the sun come in through the window, she hops off the bed, goes on the counter, and opens the curtain.
Like, oh, really?
This is her paw. Like, she wants to look outside, you know? And then that ends up waking my mom up, because she's like, oh, where's the light coming? You know, it's okay. Good morning.
Wow. See, and I can see the situation where the couple are trying to decide whether to sleep together, sleep apart. Maybe one of them is a loud snorer and the other is not. And they ultimately decide, let's sleep in different rooms. But then they have to have the custody battle argument over the dog or the cat.
Yeah.
So you have to get two. Right. There you go.
That'll solve it. I don't know. To me, it's like pets are like therapy. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of studies done these days about how cats help us regulate our blood pressure, and they alleviate depression, and they can actually energetically take away negativity out of our bodies, you know? So I think it's great. If you have a pet and you can sleep with your pet, I think it's fantastic. It's like, to me, it's medicine. It makes me really happy.
Right.
But doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah. Wow. Man, I just think my cat happens to be a long-haired cat. And long-haired cats get hair every place possible.
True.
And it's just, you know, the way I have solved that is I've taken an extra sheet, because she likes to sleep at my feet. So I've taken an extra sheet just for, like, the bottom 2 feet of bed, and I place it where she sleeps, so she gets all her hair and everything on that extra sheet, and it makes it easier to clean off and keep
That's
it clean.
So smart. That's so smart. That's great. And you know, when cats sleep at your feet, that means they want to protect you.
Really?
There's all this psychology behind, like, where I did this some segments on this because I'm on Instagram for the Better Sleep Council too. If anybody wants to follow my sleep tips on Instagram, but if a cat's sleeping at your feet, that means they want to protect you. If they're sleeping at your head, that makes them think that you are their mother, and they just
really
want to be close to you. Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that. That is.
And if they're sleeping like right on top of you, then that's them trying to heal you.
Wow.
They're like trying to help you emotionally regulate.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting to know. I did not know any of those things.
We have so many fun little segments like that. Like I looked at, I can't off the top of my head remember, but there was like, you know how people talk about your sleep position and what it says about you?
Mm-hmm.
They have those things for dogs too.
Oh, really?
Dog sleep position. Yeah, I did a segment about those too. Pretty interesting.
Wow. Wow. You know, maybe I'll have to have a show about animal sleep. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. So, okay. So, well, let me ask you the age-old question and see if you have an answer for me. Does size matter in terms of the size of mattress that you have?
Absolutely. Absolutely, size matters. I mean, okay. So, if you're a couple sleeping together, you want to at least get a queen bed. If you, a twin is really made for one person. And then there's twin extra long, which mm-hmm. is made for like teenagers, and it goes in your dorm room because you're taller and you need the extra length, right? Mm-hmm. But there's not enough space in the room to put more than a twin bed. So you get twin extra long for those ages, right?
Mm-hmm.
A double is more for when you have like two little kids sleeping together, maybe, twins or twins, like brother and sisters or whatever, because you don't have space for two twin beds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when a double is good. Maybe in your guest room, you know, for when you have your grandkids sleep over, a double bed is good. A queen bed is now you can fit two adults comfortably. So if you've got two adults in the bed, you need at least a queen bed. And then you go up to king size, and there's two different king size. There's the regular king size, which some people call Eastern King,
mm-hmm.
which is a little bit wider and a little bit shorter. So you get more space left to right when you're laying down, mm-hmm. but you get less space on the bottom. And then a California King, it's a little narrower, but you get more length. So it depends on what you like. I live in California, so I thought that was the only kind of bed we had. Like when I first bought a bed, I'm like, well, of course I'm getting a California King because I live in California. So now I'm just used to it. So that's what I get every time.
Right.
It's a little bit more difficult to find California King sheets than it is just regular King sheets. You always need to look when you're shopping for linens. Is it a King sheet or is it a California King sheet?
Mm-hmm.
But again, the best way to know which size is good for you is go to the mattress store. Both of you lay down, say, okay, do we have enough elbow room? Am I going to be kicking you in the night? You know, are your feet hanging off the bed? You know, okay, if we have the dog, if you have the dog, or, you know, get the king, one of the kings for sure. Because especially if you have a big dog, I mean, come on. That's like another person in the bed with you. Or if you're a family and you got little kids who want to crawl into bed with you, I mean, you got to get the biggest bed you can afford. That's what I say. The highest quality mattress and the largest size that will fit in your room and your budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to ask a question. It may be an unfair question and you may not have the answer, but I'm curious. Maybe you do. Do you know why they call it a California King? I have always been curious.
No, I really don't. The only thing I can think is that because of the shape of our state, it's a little bit longer. But I don't know. Maybe it was invented in California. But that's a really good question. I'm going to have to Google that. Like,
yeah, I need to look that up someday. So, well, you know, one other comment about the size of the bed in the room is that obviously we all live in different places and we all have different sized bedrooms. And sometimes you can't fit a king bed in the bedroom. But, you know, one of the important things, and I'm sure you have additional tips to add to this, which is when we talk about people getting good sleep, we tell them, don't have a TV in your room. Don't have all these extra things in your room. So if you take all those things out, you get more space, you can have a better bed. But fill me in on that. And actually, before you fill me in on that, let me stop for another commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about that. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we are back. This is Andrew Kolsky with Sleep Science Today. We're talking with Lisa Coffey from the Better Sleep Council and an author. And we're now talking about sort of the hardware of sleep, the beds and the spacing and your room and what should you have. And before we left, I said, you know, you shouldn't really have a TV or certain other things in your bedroom, and that'll give you more room for a bigger bed. So give us some more tips and background, Lisa.
So you hit on a really good point there, because technology is a huge issue in sleep disturbances these days. We are on our phones, on our laptops, on our tablets, like way, way, way too much. So before going to bed, at least 1 hour before bed, no screen time at all. Just, you know, put it away, turn it off, put it on the charger, whatever it is. But one of the reasons is because of the blue light emission. Mm-hmm. It stimulates the brain. Mm-hmm. And that affects our sleep. It takes us longer to get to sleep because we got to calm down from that. Now, there are some fixes for that, like I'm even wearing like blue light canceling glasses, you know, you can get them made into your glasses and stuff. You can get like screen covers or whatever, but it's not 100%. There's mm-hmm. no way it's ever going to be 100%. The light that comes off of any screens is, you could call it hot light. You know, like a blue flame is a very hot flame. Mm. And that heat is going through your eyes right to your brain, and you get like brain fried, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and this is a really important point that some people brush over, right? We can be physically tired, but we can also be mentally tired. And when you are too tired, sometimes you're too tired to sleep. And you could have trouble falling asleep because you're too tired. And the reason is that you need energy to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And if you're totally depleted of energy, how are you going to fall asleep? Then there's no energy left for your system to get going. So there needs to be like an hour buffer is ideal, half hour, 20 minutes, whatever you can do, you know, mm-hmm. that's like, this is your downtime. This is your transition time from going from, you know, okay, activity, activity, activity in the brain to, okay, we're settling down, we're calming down, we're preparing ourselves for sleep.
Right.
So that we are actually, when we get in bed, boom. It shouldn't really take you more than 7 minutes to fall asleep. If it's taking you more than 7 minutes, you really need to look at your sleep habits and your sleep hygiene and your sleep routine and your sleep sanctuary, all that stuff, because that shouldn't be happening. You should fall asleep within 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So
well,
the TV, though, is a big one, because a lot of people, that's almost like a status symbol, having a TV in the bedroom. And I'm going to be in bed, and I'm going to fall asleep in front of the TV, or we're going to watch movies on TV and eat popcorn in bed, and it's just so cuddly and cozy and all that. But the body gets used to the activity that's there, right? If you're working in bed, it thinks this is your workplace. If you're watching TV, it thinks this is your home theater. Mm-hmm. You're not sleeping when you're working. You're not sleeping when you're watching the movie, right? But if the bed is only for sleep, then the minute you get into bed, your body's like, oh yeah, sleep time, right?
Right.
So we need to get ourselves into these really good habits. So yeah, don't eat in bed. Don't watch TV in bed. Don't work in bed. I mean, reading in bed is okay because it's very low tech. And for a lot of people, depending on what you're reading, like don't read like a murder mystery or something in the bed, because it'll stimulate your brain. But if you're reading poetry or scripture or something, that could be very relaxing and help you get to sleep. That's okay.
In a paper book, you're saying? Reading a paper book.
Not your tablet. Paper book. And the other thing is, don't keep your phone really close to the bed. I mean, I know people are like, but what if I get a phone call or whatever? So, you know, there's all kinds of technology on your phone where you can silence everybody except for those in your emergency contacts. You can do things like that. And it's automatic too, at least like with my iPhone, it's automatic. So I set it to 10 o'clock. I'm not receiving calls until 8 o'clock in the morning, except from my mom, my son, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Right.
So you can do those kind of things, but try to have the phone far enough away from your head so that those EMFs aren't coming at you, right? Because the phone is on. Obviously, if you want calls, you've got the phone on. So you're still getting some kind of electric sensation. So those are those tips.
So, all right. So I got to ask you this then, because I can already hear it in my head. Some listeners have got to be saying to themselves, wait a minute. This lady is trying to tell me that I have to put down my phone and electronics and everything at least a half hour or more before I go to bed. What does she expect me to do? What's your answer?
Okay, so there's lots of things you can do. You can read. You can take a bath. You can take a shower. You can give yourself a self-massage. You can prepare your clothes for the next day, like set out what you're going to wear. You can prepare your lunch for the next day. You can tidy up the house. There's all kinds of things you can do, you know? So, you know, even just getting your pajamas on, brushing your teeth, washing your face, you know, taking your time doing it, a lot of self-care is amazing, you know?
Right.
One of the big sleep tips that I find works so well is magnesium oil. And especially when it's applied to the soles of your feet.
Really?
So if I've had a really stressful day and I'm like, I don't know, all this stuff is on my mind. I got to get stuff off my mind so I can go to sleep. I'll just sit in a chair and give myself a foot massage with this magnesium oil. And sure enough, boom, I'm out like a light.
Really? I've never heard of that one before. What does it do? Do you know?
Magnesium is one of those sleep superfoods type of things. And just like having food by your mouth, your skin absorbs nutrients. So magnesium oil gets absorbed by the skin very quickly. And it just helps you go to sleep, you know?
Wonderful.
Great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to, the therapist in me is going to throw in one more thing that you can do in that period between putting your electronics away and going to bed. And now this one's going to be way out there, especially for the younger generation, but here it is. Talk to the person who is your bed partner. Actually have a conversation. Don't text them. They're right there. Have a conversation. Learn more about them. How was their day? Share how your day was.
I love it. That is so good. That is so good. And that makes me think about, I mean, you're a great therapist to say that, because some say never go to bed angry. I'm saying if you're angry, go to bed. Don't stay up late arguing and getting mad at each other, because that's going to interfere with your sleep. Mm-hmm. What you should do is go to bed, go to sleep, sleep on it. Chances are when you wake up in the morning, you're not even going to remember what you were fighting about.
Right, right.
Just like, sure, go to bed angry. Don't exhaust yourself fighting about something that's probably meaningless.
Right, right. All right, so we've talked a lot about what you should not be doing in bed. You shouldn't be on your phone. You shouldn't be watching TV. You shouldn't be doing work. The only thing you should be doing is sleeping. But let's be real. What about intimacy? Tell us about that.
A-okay. Yeah. This bed should be for sleep and sex. That's it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is part of the survey we did too, to find out, you know, how many people are having sex, how often are they having sex. Obviously, we're older, so I can say younger people are having sex more often than older people. That's just the way it goes, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's totally fine. And actually, from an Ayurvedic or from a, you know, natural holistic healing point of view, that's sometimes a good way to get yourself to sleep too. Because around the best time for sex physiologically is between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get to bed by 10 p.m., there you go. Have sex, and then that'll help you get to sleep too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you don't have to like go crazy and get so worn out. When, you know, it doesn't have to be a circus. Just have sex and then go to sleep.
Right, right. Well, I wonder, I don't know, but does the Better Sleep Council have any data on, you know, we hear how, you know, men think about sex, I don't know, 60 seconds of every minute or something, versus women. What are the real numbers? Do you have data on that? And I may be kind of catching you off guard.
Yeah. So this is really interesting about, like they asked the question, if you had one extra hour in a day, how would you use it? Mm-hmm. And like, most of the men said, oh, I'd have sex, you know, and most of the women said, give me an extra hour sleep. So that was kind of the thing. But a lot of people said, oh, I'd spend more time connecting with my family, you know, things like that. But yeah, that was definitely the difference between men and women. Mm-hmm. So also interestingly, in the same sleep study, parents tend to report, parents who have kids age 18 and younger tend to have more difficulties sleeping than other people. And I could understand that. Probably more worry for the kids. Probably the kids getting up in the middle of the night, you know, bothering them. Kids being sick. Them getting sick from the kids. There could be a host of reasons why parents have more trouble getting to sleep than kids.
Right, right.
Than adults that kids are grown, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I can imagine all the things on a mom or dad's mind about just safety of the household, you know, making sure that everything is right. And, oh, did I hear a noise? What was that? Let me go check.
Right.
So that's all important stuff. So, all right. Well, one last question. We only have a few seconds to answer it. Is we were talking about the bedroom. We were talking about keeping electronics and stuff out. Any other tips on things that people could have in or remove from the bedroom for a better night's sleep?
Yeah, fresh plants, you know, house plants are great because it helps give you oxygen. Humidifiers are really good, especially in the cold, dry winter, because people tend to have like breathing problems from the dry air. It's like being on a plane, you know, sometimes when you've had the heater on all day and things like that. So humidifier and plants in the bedroom, I think, are awesome.
Great.
Also, just a feng shui thing, don't keep your shoes by the bed. Keep your shoes in the closet. Don't keep your shoes by the bed. That's like bad feng shui to have your shoes by the bed.
And you also probably trip on them if you get up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Well, we are out of time for today's episode. So, Lisa Coffey, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us. Definitely need to have you back because there's so much information about sleep that, you know, is important and people need to know. So we'll have you back on again soon, and I appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much, Andrew. Keep doing the good work you're doing. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.